Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hurts in the gun. On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
Who else? Merrill Reese. That was Barkley's second touchdown of the game. Made it 28-15. Now, to be fair, the Rams did mount a pretty interesting drive and tried to make a comeback. And we'll get into that in a moment. But Eagles move on, Perloff. And I'm thinking about you on, because you're a diehard Eagle fan, on Saturday night, actually, when the Commanders took out the Lions. I'm like, this is setting up so well for the Eagles. And then it was a little bit of scary times in the snow yesterday, but you come away with the win.
Now the Commanders are a little bit scary. You know, the funny thing is, like, this is a game where I'm like, oh my God, thank God it was snowing, because the team with the better quarterback definitely lost. Is there any, I mean, by a mile, if they had just spread that ball out early and just zipped it all over the place with Stafford, the way he was throwing accurately, that would have been a different game. But I think the weather 100% defined. We were arguing earlier whether the Ravens Bills game was a weather game. This was 100% a weather game. And, like, because the Rams were playing great the second half of the season. When they had Puka and Kupp going, like, that would have been very hard for the Eagles. The Eagles' run defense, like, the one thing the Eagles know how to do is strip the ball from Kyron Williams. I thought the Rams were a little too conservative in that game. They had to get a lead when it was dry, because they're definitely, I think they're probably the better offense, and Matthew Stafford's a way better quarterback. Hurts, after Hurts got injured, like, that was just hold on for dear life.
Well, definitely, and I can have a major problem with the play calling after Hurts got hurt. And we can talk about this, because now it's going to be a major storyline. What is the status of Jalen Hurts' knee? And it's not even so much about, well, it's about everything, because he is very dangerous when he can run the ball, but also the tush push. If he can't get under center and execute that play, it takes away one of the great, like, hacks or shortcuts or whatever you want to call it.
And not to mention, we don't have a kicker either. So the two of them, like, an extra point, we don't have an extra point maker.
Yeah, I know. Jake Elliott missing extra points. I mean, how does that not come back to bite you? It will at some point.
Yeah,
I don't know if the Commanders are going to make you pay for it. But
no tush push, no kicker.
I know. So that you have to find a way where someone else can execute the tush push. We saw last night that Mark Andrews actually goes under center. I don't know why Lamar doesn't do QB sneaks, but Mark Andrews is the one, and he actually did execute
I think he's 100% on the year. I would check. I've never seen Mark Andrews get stopped.
But it's just funny to me that it's not like Lamar's small. So why not,
he's not
do your own QB sneaks and your own tush push?
He's small compared to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts' legs are massive.
Right, okay. Why not have Saquon Barkley, who they literally call Saquads? Why not have him do the touch, which you're going to have to figure it out. You have a week to
I
do
love
it.
That.
But it's an interesting point you brought up about the Rams and the better quarterback lost yesterday. I thought really the biggest amount of credit should go to the Eagles defense and Vic Fangio outcoaching Sean McVay. Mm. And not only that, I think this was like a Howie Roseman game in some ways, because your general manager to have Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith come up in the way they did with the forced fumbles late in the game, it was incredible. I mean, that to me, you want to build the statue for Big Dom, build the statue for Jalen Carter, who was a question coming out of Georgia, fell in the draft a little bit because of character concerns, and has come to Philadelphia, didn't have it a phenomenal, like ran out of gas a little bit in his rookie season, and he was excellent yesterday.
I mean, I'll take the credit for my Eagles, but you didn't think that was a warm weather team choking in the snow? I mean, I thought that was
watching Stafford throw bombs as soon as Puka Nacua
gave up that Stafford fumble. I was like, oh my God, he just wants to go home and get inside, because that was like I've never seen a warm weather quarterback just give up on a play like that when it's like, ah, forget it, you could have it.
Well,
and Kyren Williams, honestly, like McVay, I was actually thinking to myself, I'm like, ooh, McVay's not pulling Kyren Williams here, because I remember the first game was decided by a Kyren Williams fumble too. I'm like, he's had four fumbles this year. I'm like, I mean, he can't keep it in a normal circumstance. Like, the Rams, I think, are a Super Bowl nucleus, but they have a big problem with the ball security on their star running back. So, I don't know. I was like, Kyren Williams is going to give it up. I didn't think, yes, Jalen Carter was amazing for 500 different plays, too. It wasn't just that. He was stuffing them left and right. He was terrorizing the Stafford. But I'm not sure that this was a function of the Eagles being great. I think the Eagles held on for dear life.
Well, yeah. So, Jalen Hurts gets his knee twisted up in like a really awkward tackle where he kind of goes backwards, and it was not good. Ends up going to the medical tent. You got your backup quarterback, Kenny Pickett, has broken ribs. So I guess Tanner McKee
is better than Kenny Pickett, according to every single person in Philadelphia. But, I mean, Kenny Pickett's not great.
But not somebody you want to see at that point in the
game. Kenny Pickett with small hands in the snow, he's not even going in the game. Even if he's healthy, that's not happening.
But you have Saquon Barkley, who, as we played the highlight for you, is ripping off a 78-yard touchdown run. And instead, they have Saquon Barkley after the Rams cut it to a score. And Saquon Barkley, I think, took the handoff on first down. And then they have Jalen Hurts dropping back. First of all, they have him dropping back in the end zone, ends up taking a safety. But they dropping back on one knee just made no sense to me. You had to just keep handing the ball off.
Well, he had a third down and a fourth down in the second half in the snow after the knee, and he hit both short passes. The play, he rolled against his body, and usually, I'm not sure if it was Goddard, but that's one of their best plays. That always works, but the footing was so bad on the receiver, and Hurts is
and
like,
he's hurt.
Well, I think it was also the snow. Hurts is like, I'm just going to eat this. But they could have hit it with Barkley, and it would have just been the same result. They were just trying to kill clock. It's a hard position. It's snowing out. What are you supposed to do?
It didn't do...
There was no other way to get a first down except pass. They were stuffing the line. There was no other option.
But here's the thing. I think that's lame.
What were you going to do?
Well, I not make Jalen Hurts on one leg have to be the guy who, first of all, even if you think that's the best play to run to kill clock, you're also asking your quarterback to now take another sack where he's already on a bad knee, where you could damage the knee even more.
Just rub some salt on it. But no, seriously,
that's not what you're going to be saying.
What play
next
would you have called?
I probably would have tried for some kind of creative design run play. Why can't you do any kind of sweep? Do you have to just run it straight into the line? You killed 25 seconds going three and out. You hand the ball back to the Rams, and they march down the field, and then you got lucky and good, I guess, that Jalen Carter came up with a big defensive play.
You have to hope it. I think they're like, we think our defense can hold up in a driving snowstorm in this last situation. Like, the Eagles thought they could not pass the ball in that situation. So that's why they played it like that. They were not going to, there was no creative run play. Like, the run plays went nowhere in that situation. Nobody had their footing. It was a tough play. Usually that play works. And they had done the same exact kind of play a couple times before, where Hurts, regardless of where his knee was, could throw a 5-yard pass. And he was hitting them. That play almost worked too, by the way. And Hurts was smart to take.
He got sacked for like 16-yard loss.
Hurts was smart to take the sack too, like instead of throw it, because they need to kill as much clock as possible. It's, you know, I don't know how Puka Nacua caught that pass at the end. That was a lucky drive.
Oh, it wasn't just him. DeMarcus Robinson had a really big catch, and then Puka, and then Cooper Kupp, and you know, it ends up with a 4th and 11 because Matthew Stafford took a bad sack, lost 9 yards when you're at the Philadelphia 13, and you're at 3rd and 2 at the Philadelphia 13, and you take a 9-yard loss and a sack, sets up a 4th and 11 from the 22, and that was going to be impossible, and there wasn't even a play on the ball because the ball just sort of sailed. Listen, here's the thing about the Eagles. I think you're downplaying this Jalen Hurts knee situation.
No, I'm not for moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, he savagely ran through the line for a touchdown to start the game.
Yeah.
No, they need his running ability. I'm not downplaying at all. I think this is a terrifying game. I do think that against the Rams in that weather, he could hold it together enough to get the W, especially because you had Saquon sort of starting to heat up. But no, from I think this game is super dangerous with no Hurts running the ball. You need all your weapons against Washington, who really does move the ball well against the Eagles. Like the first game, not so much, but the second game, Daniels was very, very comfortable.
Yeah, they put up 36 points in that game.
Yeah, I mean, part of that was Kenny Pickett turning it over. But yeah, this is a game where you need Hurts to be healthy. It's definitely not a good thing.
So this game sparked another conversation, which was about the weather, Perloff's favorite topic. The question is, do you like NFL playoff games being impacted by the snow? And right now, you can vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. Overwhelmingly, people are saying yes. I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like no fun Debbie Downer. I don't love it when the snow is this bad. It was kind of fun through the first half, Perloff, where you had some snow. By the third and fourth quarter, it was just like, it made it impossible, felt like, to play the game. Credit to the Rams, really, kept throwing the ball because they had to, because they were trailing. But it didn't make it that fun. At that point, it's just straight up war of attrition and who's going to end up making a mistake. And I didn't love it when it gets to be the real heavy stuff.
Well, all I can say is that's why you play for home field advantage. Like, the Rams should have put the gas on a pedal on the gas early in the season and got home field. Like, it's what happens.
No,
it's the way the NFL works.
Started the season 1-4, and they were fine even with the idea of coming on the road, I guess. But this was worst case scenario for them.
Yeah, I don't even understand how the Rams kept the game that close. They did not look happy.
Their defensive line was good. Yes.
Yeah, but generally, like that team, they did not look happy in the snow at all. The Eagles looked way more comfortable. Is that fair to say? I mean, again, think of the Stafford fumble and the Kyron Williams fumble. Like, that's a guy, like, you can't, it's not just the footing. The footing's bad, but the ball is impossible to grip the right way. It's got to be cold and wet the entire time. And, like, you can't have a team like that. You saw one ball just went, like, right to Puka. Puka Nacua never drops anything, and he was dropping things yesterday.
He looked cold. But to be fair, he did come up with a big catch in the Rams' final drive. Yeah, snow games like yesterday where it's just you can't see the field. You have no idea what the first down is. It got to be not that fun. You know it's going to be something slippery and just weird mistakes. Yeah, EJ?
I hate snow games. And I think that if you really are a real fan of seeing who the best team is on the field, then you should not like snow games. Credit to the Rams. That was a great game. But I just feel like I don't know. I'm not a snow weather guy. I'm sorry. Like, put every team in a dome, I'm fine. Like, I want to see the best athletes at their best. And when you have a snow game in the playoffs, you're not seeing that. You're seeing athletes struggling with their gloves, whether they wear a visor, what kind of cleats they got to wear. They're slipping and sliding. This is not the best athletes performing at their best. I just cannot stand snow weather games in the playoffs.
I know. I don't love it when it's really like this, but at the same time, it's unique to the unique to the sport, and it forces you to have to play a different kind of game.
A game that's way less entertaining, way less appealing to the eye. I mean, it's just not as good football.
Well, what you do is you throw out the idea of the best team winning, the better team winning, and it just becomes. And I'm not even sure. I think the Eagles may have been the better team yesterday. It's not about that.
Exactly.
It's just that you have to throw out the idea of is the best team going to win this game or is just the team that deals with the elements? And it's roster building too. This starts in the offseason. You know, you got to build a team that can play in the elements if you're a cold weather team.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, and I agree with you. But the thing about the cold weather games, we love it during the regular season. Like, if it's not a less meaningful game, it's awesome. It's so much fun, right? It's just visually
I'm not
cool.
A snow
You don't
weather.
Even like those?
Not really. I'll be honest. Like, I don't come to watch a sporting event with pro athletes and want to see them struggle. It's like people who say, do you like the U.S. Open in golf or do you not like the U.S. Open in golf? Like, do you want to see these guys struggling with some terrible course? Or do you want to see these guys ripping it around the course? putting from, you know, 30 feet. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see the best athletes perform at their best. Like, to me, like, the elements coming in, and, like, I'm not saying they should just dome every stadium, but, like, in the
playoffs.
Sounds
like you are.
I wouldn't mind if they didn't. I'm just saying, I think in the playoffs, yesterday's game, which turned out to be a great game regardless, but it just felt like, basically for three quarters, the Rams' offense, the water was just turned off. They could have punted basically every time because they weren't moving the ball at all. And I'm like,
the Rams, I tell you, the first two drives, like the first actually three drives, they were moving the ball well.
No, I'm saying after the first
few drives, after the weather came back.
For like three quarters or so, it was just like the Rams didn't have an offense. Like, credit to their defense. You kept saying, like, you know, did the Rams basically just not be cold? I wouldn't say that about the defense. The defense, I thought, fought for 60 minutes. I think they should be proud of their effort. But the Rams' offense just like look like they gave up until the last two drives.
But this is the NFL. I mean, it's supposed to be, I know it's a high scoring passing football game now, but this is still about toughness and weather. There's called the 105-year history. Like, we fight to play outdoors. Like, think of the great NFL film sync with guys breathing and the air coming up. And, like, this should be defined by outdoors. Like, I have friends who hate that Minnesota plays indoors. I think it's ridiculous. Like, old school, why not take advantage? Like, Maggie was calling for the Bills to build a run team for 10 years.
Yeah.
Why not to be a tough guy?
I'm actually bummed they're not putting a dome on the new stadium because I think it's a waste. But I think there's another part is I just never understood. I know the tough guy stuff. Why the receivers don't wear sleeves, I don't understand. Like, you have Nacua, and you've got Kupp, and you've got DeMarcus Robinson. You've got all these guys sliding in the snow with bare arms. Just why make yourself colder? I never understood it. Tom Brady, I think, is one of the toughest people alive, and he wore a scuba suit. Play for the elements. Let's go to our pal George. He's in L.A. He's a Rams fan. What a season, George. How'd you feel yesterday?
Yeah, I enjoyed the game, but I hate snow. I can't stand it. I think this had been at SoFi, the Rams might have won the game, but like Perloff said, you got to win the game to get to home field advantage. But the two fumbles killed them. And you think about it, Saquon Barkley is their savior, but it's not always going to be like that for Philadelphia. But I think they're going to have a tough time in Washington next week because I think the quarterback of Philadelphia is injured more than what they're showing, and I don't think he can run anymore. But anyway, we had a great run, and I'm proud of the Rams. And we just got to do better next year.
So, George, happy about it. All right. Satisfied?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this Rams team. I like the way their GM's on a heater right now. I think Stafford said after the game, I'm going to think about my future. Like, what? Where would he go? He's not that old. I think he's played really well. They have so many young pieces. Puka's amazing. That Jared Verse is amazing. Braden Fisk is amazing.
He got hurt in the game yesterday and got knocked out of the game.
Yeah, they have. I think there are a lot of good pieces there. Obviously, if the Rams are going to look at their season, like, they cannot afford to go east in the winter.
I thought maybe Matthew Stafford cracked some ribs earlier in the game.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure. That guy probably has so many cracked ribs, he doesn't even know when they crack.
He's going to be 37. Next season.
Perloff asked, he didn't know why he was thinking about it. I'm like, well, some crack ribs playing in Philly for 60 minutes in snow, that'll make you reconsider whether or not you want to keep playing football.
Has Stafford gone through a single game without cracking his ribs? That guy gets demolished. He was at Detroit for 11 years. That's like just in pregame warm-up, they crack your rib just preemptively.
That's probably how you warm up, get loose, crack a couple ribs, and then get out there.
Okay, again, I know it's annoying, but let me ask you guys this question. Honest question. If that game was on a dry field in a dome, who wins?
You know, I wonder if still the Eagles win because I was really impressed with the defense.
I wonder if the Eagles
and you lost Quinyon Mitchell and you still was impressed
with
the defense.
Yeah, but impressed with the defense because Puka couldn't catch the ball. I think the Rams have spread it out and started throwing on that defense. I think they could have moved the ball really well. So I'm curious. They couldn't do anything. They completely stopped. I thought Sean McVay, as always, a bit conservative. Like,
he is very conservative.
Like, Sirianni is not going to be conservative. The Commanders aren't going to be conservative. Like, you cannot. I wonder if he has to start thinking about maybe pushing the ball a little stronger. Like, fourth down calls, third and short. Like, maybe start to be more aggressive.
No, McVay gets a lot of credit for being this offensive innovator and genius guy, but nobody is confusing him for Dan Campbell.
Yeah,
he's not Mr. Reckless. He's not Mr. Go for it on every fourth down. That's never been Sean McVay.
Right, and I think that gave the Eagles a bit of an advantage, although they lost to Tush Bush, so that's our big fourth down weapon. Don't even get me started.
It's going to be interesting. 855-212-4227. We got a question for you, and you can go vote on our poll. Do you like NFL games being impacted by the snow? Yes or no? Yes, winning by a lot. And also, are you blaming weather for the Ravens' loss on Sunday? Perloff hit me with a haymaker on this one. I did not think we were going to be talking about the Ravens being impacted by the weather.
You know, the field's supposed to be green, not white. Where you're aware of that, right? Like, it's supposed to be a green field.
Yes, I am aware of that. I also know that Derrick Henry is able to run.
I don't know. He didn't seem...
Just like James Cook had to run.
I don't know. I don't think Derrick Henry seemed totally comfortable. He had, like, little baby steps so he didn't slip.
I mean, Justice Hill was running.
He was an animal. I don't know where that guy came from.
This is... it's not like the winds were blowing in sideways here and you couldn't see anything and it was a whiteout. Like, that's not what the weather was like in Buffalo yesterday.
And then it's like...
Well, yeah, but it certainly wasn't perfect. Like, they had trouble keeping all the...
Of course it's not perfect.
And you're telling me, like...
It wouldn't have been perfect in Baltimore.
Even the fumble, like the fumble that Mark Andrews had that cost him the game, like his feet weren't exactly stable right there. Like it looked a little slippery.
I mean, he caught the ball, started running, and then got the ball punched out.
He cut the other way. I don't know where he was going. He cut up the field, and then you could just see like he was like a little off. You don't think it was slippery there? I think the Bills and the Ravens certainly do.
Listen, it's not perfect. It wasn't perfect footing. I did not think that the weather decided that game. 855-212-4227. We're talking about how much blame are you putting on Lamar Jackson for the loss yesterday, Mark Andrews, the coaching staff. We'll talk about the big upset. Saturday night, Detroit. How did it happen? Why did it happen? We unpack it all next. It's MMP.
Okay. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. The oddsmakers, of course, completely nailed the entire wildcard weekend. They pretty much had the exact spread right on every game, except for the Commanders-Lions, which I'm sure cost them, cost actually the bettors a pretty penny, because like everyone else and me bet on the Lions. And I could have sworn the Lions were about to just go to town in that game. 7-3, driving down the field. I'm like, oh my God, they're just scoring 100 points. This is amazing. And then Jared Goff choked. But regardless of that, let's talk about what the odds makers are going to do for the AFC title game. Once again, it's the Bills and the Chiefs for like the 100th year in a row.
Feels like it.
Care to guess? We have not looked it up yet. No. Care to look up the spread and the total for that game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Chiefs 2.5. I don't even know if they're going to give them a full field goal, but I bet it's going to push to a field goal. And I bet it closes at -3 because I think people are just going to do the you can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, and that's pretty smart. And I think the total is going to be 42.5, low-scoring game. What about you?
So, okay, I actually had 2.5 as well because it feels like it's a last-second game, right? So a field goal is too big a number. It's clearly going to be the last possession. We all know that. That's just a fact. That's the way football works.
Yeah.
The scriptwriters. I have the total a little higher. I have a 45.5 because logic says the Chiefs and the Bills are not going to score a lot. But, I mean, recent history. But I just think that bettors like me are going to see that number and be like, this is Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. We got to push that number up, right? Yeah, it's just like the star power feels, 42.5 feels too low.
Okay, so the actual spread on the game is Chiefs -1.5. So being kind of favorable there to Buffalo, and the total is set at 47.5.
Okay.
Now, I just looked at the Eagles-Commanders game. Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea. Let me guess. Eagles 3.5, and then, or no, 4.5. And the total low, no, 47.5 as well, 48.5.
The Commanders.
Very close. Eagles are favored by 5.5. Total, you are right, 47.5.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think there's, there's going to be snow coming next weekend, is there? I haven't seen anything here.
Nothing in the,
this week is going to be brutal. Thank God that that's not happening for that game. But I would want weather. I think the Eagles are a better cold weather team because the Commanders are an awesome offensive team and not a great defensive team. Like the cold weather helps the defensive team. It helps the slower team. I don't know. I just think that the Eagles have a scary assignment ahead. And I think the Chiefs Bills, like, I don't even need to see the first 59 minutes. It's like an NBA game. You know that cliche that you only need to watch the last 2 minutes of an NBA game? This is definitely going to be a nail biter. This is definitely going to take a year off of Maggie's life. I just don't see any other way. You don't even need analysis. It's just whatever way the ball bounces in that last minute and a half is going to determine your future happiness.
Wow, when you put it like that, if it only took a year off, that'd be fine. I'm worried about decades coming off this entire playoff.
This one feels pretty bad, too, because this does feel like a year for the Bills.
Well, yeah. Because if the Chiefs are going to get got, you would think it'd be when they're trying to pull off something that's been unprecedented.
Yeah.
Which is to win three in a row.
Or you would have thought last year when they were big underdog coming to the AFC title game at Baltimore. Like, again, right. Like, logic says, the Bills got to break through. It's just a matter of time, right?
I don't think that's logic. I don't think people are looking at it that way. The Bills are due.
Well, I think it's a matter of, it's a luck rating, which they have. Bettors have a lot of who has good luck, who has bad luck. If you flip a coin 10 times, eventually it's going to land on tails. It does seem like these are coin flip kind of bounce the football games, no?
I don't know.
13 seconds? That is as coin flip a bounce of a game as you've ever seen in your life.
I actually don't think that was luck. I think that was poor defense and allowing the Chiefs to drive down the field. I blame the coaching staff for that. They completely messed that up. So, no, I did not think that was luck.
Well, I do think there is a real thing called a luck rating, and eventually it all comes down to the middle. So I think there is a lot. I've seen a lot of Bills action this week. More so, everyone's forgetting that the Chiefs won the last two Super Bowls. They just go out there and win a ridiculously ugly game against the Texans. And oh, yeah, this team, I don't know how they keep winning.
Listen, back on his, BS. No, Kelsey looked great. All of a sudden, he's like a bowling ball out there and rumbling.
Unbelievable.
I know.
They totally lack definition. Who are the Chiefs? They just find a way to win.
They're a defense that sacks C.J. Stroud 8 times.
Oh, my God. Texans, they're blitzing. Do something. Protect C.J. Stroud.
They haven't been able to do that all season.
Do something. Just try something different. Whatever you're trying, stop it and try a new protection plan.
To be honest, the Texans' defensive line was super impressive, I thought.
I don't know. I felt like you said the Texans. Oh, Texans. But the offense is so awful.
The offense is awful. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. We'll get into Detroit and the Lions getting upset at home. Did they just blow their best shot at a Super Bowl? What's up, folks?
Guys, maybe Josh Allen's hair is the source of his ability to avoid turnovers. 0 from him yesterday in Buffalo, 2 from Lamar Jackson.
Protect the ball. Protect the ball. We was driving, we was driving the ball smooth all game. I don't even think we punted tonight. It was the 3 turnovers got us off the field. So we protect the ball. We're not even having these conversations. You guys don't even have those type of questions for me.
Lamar frustrated after a pick and a fumble, plus Mark Andrews dropping the tying 2-point conversion with 1:33 to play in this divisional game. The Bills survived 27-25. Allen only threw for 127 while running for 2 scores. Now a rematch with those Chiefs for the AFC spot in the Super Bowl. The Bills were the only team this season to beat KC with Mahomes playing, but Allen says the 30-21 final back in Week 11 means nothing now.
It's hard to beat a team twice. We understand that. We know that. It's a team that we beat early in the season, but it's not the same team. You know, they got some guys back on their defense and their offense.
The Eagles and Commanders, by the way, split their regular season meetings. Now Act 3 in the NFC title game, the first one that's both NFC East teams since 87. And all it took was Washington's upset in Detroit and Saquon Barkley's 206 yards and 2 scores yesterday.
Whether it's national spotlight or it's Saturday on the parking lot, it don't really matter. I just want to make the plays for the team. And before that, I just kind of kept telling myself, just locking in, being focused, and O-line did a really good job.
Man, everybody should want to pay a running back that talented and that humble.
By the way, that quote, Saturday in a parking lot, who plays football in a parking lot? That sounds terribly dangerous. You play in a field, I would hope.
Well, he's a city. Well, if you're a city kid, you might have to play in a parking lot.
I don't know. Does Saquon playing in a parking lot? I felt like, you tackle a guy in a parking lot.
A two-hand touch in a parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know. What kind of madman are you? You're playing tackle.
I'm sorry, I've never seen
lot?
Video of a parking lot football game. That's not a thing I've seen.
Yeah, it must be nice to live by grass when you were growing up.
Exactly. Us Queens boys, we had to sometimes play, you know, on concrete or on blacktop.
So you guys played a lot of parking lot football?
Definitely.
To be honest, there was not a patch of grass big enough for a football game within walking distance of where I grew up.
That's so sad. I feel bad for you guys.
Why? They turned out okay.
Yeah. Look how tough me and EJ are.
No, apparently not.
We have three good legs between us.
You guys sound pretty sad right now.
I got on turf and I blew up my knee. Maybe I should have been playing on grass or concrete.
Yeah. Honestly, the next time Deion Dawkins does his celebrity kickball game, we should suggest doing it.
Concrete,
on asphalt. Yeah, concrete something. Not green grass. This is a depressing day for some people around here. You know, you have an NFC East, an all NFC East NFC championship game, and we've got Dallas Cowboy fans all over this great country of ours, and you've got two big Giants fans right here in the studio. Who's it worse for? I feel your pain, Giants fans. I think this is worse for the Cowboy fans.
I mean, I was speaking to Giants fans on New York local radio yesterday. This was before the Eagles won, and they already were like, this is the worst day of my life. It was bad.
It's bad. You watching Saquon Barkley be the difference maker for your biggest rival. And also, you messed around and won some very meaningless games at the end of last season.
Yeah.
With Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
And you basically played yourself out of the Jaden Daniels sweepstakes.
And then this year.
Anyone else. It could have been Drake May. It could have been Caleb Williams. The other thing, this year you also blew it on tanking. But the Cowboys also have to own, this is unique pain for them as well. Now that the Commanders have made it to the NFC Championship game, every other team in the NFC has made it to the title game since the Cowboys were last there in 1995. That's brutal. That's crazy.
Even the Jets.
Yeah, that's an AFC team, but sure.
Oh, yeah.
Rub salt. And Dan Quinn is the one who's taking them there, and he was your defensive coordinator, and you essentially picked McCarthy, and now he's gone. I mean, pretty bad. I didn't even mention, like, that Dorrance Armstrong came up with a huge show.
He was great.
He was awesome, and he's a guy who Dan Campbell poached and took with him.
What was the deal with Michael Parsons' tweet? Anybody see that?
What'd he say?
I don't know. It was just it was an announcement that the Commanders won, and Michael Parsons tweets, like, a thinking emoji or something, or, like, a laughing emoji. I'm like, what are you laughing about, bro? Like, your whole fan base is just terrified about what's about to happen. An Eagles, Commanders, you know, conference title game. He's like, ha-ha, this is fun. It's with that guy.
Wait, what do you mean? So Parsons was backing the Eagles?
No, I think he was just trolling. He clearly thought this was just not that big a deal.
Well, isn't he the...
Delete the tweet, by the way. It's not up anymore.
The CEO of Bleacher Report? Maybe it's just he's also a media mogul.
I mean, he secretly wears green underneath all his jerseys, I believe. He's an Eagle. But, yeah,
He's a saboteur.
I think you guys are misunderstanding. The Cowboys are in this other stratosphere. Like, you think they care about the Commanders or the Eagles? They got their own problems. Like, they have Jerry to deal with. I don't think people in Dallas are really talking about their rivals. Where
I don't care if they are or not. This is about the Giants.
The Saquon thing. Also, too, there was a thing that went viral about Jaden Daniels. Again, this week, the Hard Knocks, where Joe Shane's son casually says, man, that Jaden Daniels could be amazing this year. and actually, I saw it had like 300,000 likes. It was Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, his teenage son sitting there like on his phone. He's like, you should really do anything you can to trade up for Jaden Daniels. And everyone's like, well, that kid should run a team, not Joe Shane.
I don't think he was a teenager. He was like nine.
Yeah.
The other part, see, that's where I can't get... Joe Shane botched the Saquon thing for sure. What was he going to do? The Commanders were not trading the pick.
Yeah, this was spilled milk, you know, in the season.
The Giants.
They need the tank.
Yeah, the Giants screwed it up by not executing the tank.
No, they should have drafted Penix. That was crazy.
Or they could have drafted Penix.
Or they should have drafted McCarthy. Or they should have drafted Nix. That was outright insane because this year's draft class, even Cam Orr or Shador are significantly below those guys. I mean, they would have been 7th and 8th in that list to me.
And they're not going to get those guys either.
That's
crazy thing, though. Like, to me, it's like that draft they had quarterbacks there. They still passed. And now they're in a draft where they thought we can get them this year. And now they still might not get them.
I hate them. And I know Manny does too. And it's remarkable that they haven't played since when. And they're actually getting more inept. without playing games because all of these dudes keep doing things and they all could have been Giants.
Of all the teams that are being talked about,
it's remarkable.
That are left in the playoffs, the Giants are like the fifth team.
Right.
It's like they're the fifth team still around because of all the people around. That Saquon's around, the quarterback that should have been on their team is still playing. It's like they're the fifth playoff team, except it's all just jokes and trolling.
And that's locally. Nationally, the Giants are at the bottom of the barrel relevancy. Like, they have no relevancy. Like, people don't even remember when they were good.
No, but this 2011. This is their relevancy. This is the joke.
The Saquon Barkley stuff is
every national
them.
TV game is just like, hey, Saquon, Giants, don't you wish you had him? Like, it's like, I feel like every week is just a dunk on the Giants fest because it's Eagles run.
And I'm sure it's happened before. This can't be unique, but it feels like a team has never been in a situation like this over multiple seasons with multiple mistakes that every week either furthers the original mistake or presents a new one that we didn't realize that they made. It's remarkable.
I think the Cowboys fans would say, I don't know, hold my beer, but I'll share a beer. I think they are feeling equally as awful about what's going on with Dan Quinn, as I said before, being their defensive coordinator and now getting a team to the NFC Championship game.
Didn't they give up a bazillion points the last time Dan Quinn was their defensive coordinator?
I don't think they kept McCarthy, and they were all responsible for the loss
maybe
to the Packers 2 years ago.
But they didn't just realize that they haven't been in the NFC title game since 95. Like, this has been a long running pain for them. Like, this last 18 months is a whole new setup for the Giants.
But think about the fact that every other NFC team has been to the championship game since they've been there. Every other team.
Yeah, but the bigger thing is it's been 30 years since they've been there. Regardless of how many other times the Eagles, Giants, or Commanders made it, the fact that they haven't been there in three decades is not a new problem. Plus, who cares about them? They're Cowboys fans.
I mean,
I do think the Washington make it, that rivalry ain't what it used to be. Like, that used to be like the primetime game. Now they stick it at like 1 o'clock. So I don't think like... I think the Eagles fans might hurt even more. Like, is it a Dallas? Are you talking about a Dallas Washington thing? Like the old school rivalry?
I mean, I wasn't even going there really because, I think it's been watered down. But yeah, that doesn't help either. Historically, that's a really big rivalry. And now all of a sudden, a couple changes, and Cowboy fans probably only want their team to change ownership. I mean, and that's what happened with the Commanders. Their owner was awful. Get him out. New, GM in, new quarterback, new head coach, and you're in the championship game. It's not even like, hey, we put together a great season, we made the playoffs, and we flamed out in the first round. You just pulled off the upset of the playoffs going into Detroit and beating the Lions the way you did.
I mean, my future brother-in-law is a diehard Commanders fan, and the only thing he sent me was something about the Cowboys not making the conference final. They care. I don't know about Dallas, but I know the Commanders fans, Washington people, are very happy to dunk in the Cowboys'
face. They're back in it. And that was the one thing, at least the Giants, like, well, at least we beat Washington. Nope. Sorry, guys. All right.
I think we just killed Manny, by the way.
Manny, it's cool. You've got a big, long life ahead of you.
I have nothing nice to say. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it.
You have more tattoos to get. Plenty of ink.
And probably an NBA cup in your future, I would think. So, you know, just sit tight, buddy.
Fly a kite, buddy.
Dude, be like me. Just pick up a better team.
Just bandwagon your way out of it.
Have no principles. Be me.
Look at the Rams. I really like what they're
home too.
I really like what they're working personnel wise.
I love how you talk about them like they're real estate. Like, I love what's happening in that neighborhood.
Beachfront.
I know the Lions lost. You want that guy Brad Holmes on your side, like. Come with me, Manny. We'll find a new team.
Come with me.
Yeah, you don't need the Giants. You don't need that in your life.
Let's get to the Lions. Brad Holmes, their general manager. Well, going home a bit early. Who's to blame for that loss? We'll get to that next. It's M&P.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely stunning. Stunning result Saturday night. Detroit Lions, I mean, this was setting up for them, Perloff, in one of the best ways possible. You get the number one seed. You get home field advantage throughout the postseason. No more going to San Francisco. No one have to go to Philadelphia. Don't have to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was setting up for them.
You got the lower seed come in who won their first round game.
Rookie quarterback. I mean, even if with all the injuries that the Lions had on defense, you think you feast on a rookie quarterback, yeah. But Jayden Daniels is not like any other rookie. He has shown that he has just got like he's ready for the moment. He almost looks born for it. And the fact that they were able to take advantage of all of the Lions' turnovers, 5 turnovers in this game, Jared Goff, 3 picks, Jameson Williams threw a pick. We can get into that decision-making, penalties on the Lions, just stupid stuff. And they are going home. It was the anatomy of an upset. It was every single beat that you needed for an upset. And credit to the Commanders, they pulled this thing off.
They did. But I don't know. I felt like Jared Goff was determined to lose that game. I walk away with that was a choke job. That was an ultimate came up small in the big moment. And honestly, after that game, I don't know if Jared Goff can ever win with this team. And in fact, to the point where I wonder if the Lions are like, ooh, I don't know. We're going to have a Super Bowl team minus one position.
Too late. They paid him.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You made your bed with Jared Goff.
But how much longer do they have to? I mean,
they just paid him this offseason.
So they have 2 or 3 more years. I guess they have to keep him. I don't know. I just don't know, like, that performance, how you recover from that.
I think they'll tell themselves that they had too many injuries on defense to overcome, and no team would be able to overcome that. And they lost another Amik Robinson, right? Got knocked out in this game. But that wasn't true with this game. That might have been true, like, overall, globally. Like, they may not have been able to win the Super Bowl because they had so many injuries. But that's not what I put on this particular game. This particular game, losing a divisional round, this was off turnovers, sloppy play, and I thought some all-time boneheaded play calling and some bad penalties. I thought it was.
I totally disagree. First of all, you're saying if Aiden Hutchinson was on the field, that would have been the same result? If Aileen McNeil was on the field, like, of course it wouldn't have.
I watched the Lions overcome those injuries to still grab the number one overall seed.
Well, it's definitely part of it, though. At least you don't put it as any chunk of this, 35%, 40%. They couldn't get the Commanders off the field.
Not this game. I don't. I think that there are more things to blame in this game for why they lost. If Jared Goff doesn't throw those picks, if he doesn't fumble, and if you don't call, I don't understand. You got season on the line. On the line. You're going to Jameson Williams to try to complete a low percentage throw?
Well, it's not low percentage for them. They're special. Their trick plays are high percentage. They're the best in the league by 50 miles.
But not play. This one.
That well, that play, they've worked multiple times this year. Just not that receiver.
Well, Jameson Williams has never thrown a pass. Not he didn't throw a pass this year.
Well, I mean, St. Brown's thrown one. I think a bunch of guys have thrown one.
I just don't understand.
They tried to have Penny Sewell throw one once.
I'd rather have that. The end-around play with Jameson Williams, now that was brilliant because you had your quarterback knocked out of the game at that point. Teddy Bridgewater's in the game, so cool trick play at that point. When you're trailing by 10 points and it's the fourth quarter and you're trying to make a furious comeback and Jared Goff is in the game, I don't know why you put it in the hands of Jameson Williams.
Maybe Goff wasn't 100% himself. And also, too, you live and die by the trick play. You're the best trick play team in the league, maybe the best team ever. They had so many this year. That's what they do. They're the Lions. You want them to keep going for it on fourth down, but take away the trick plays? They had two good trick plays.
See, the beauty of the trick play, though, is you got to know the time and place. And you saw the Commanders try to do a trick play early on in the game, and then they cut that crap out immediately when it didn't work.
You're so full of it, because if that trick play had worked, you would never be saying this.
Oh, I'm not a Ben Johnson fan.
Johnson, guy had 7,000 yards and 31 points yesterday.
I'm not to the point you are. You love Ben Johnson. You think he's the next Bill Walsh. I am not convinced. I thought that was a terrible idea.
I think the market agrees with me. I think he's going to be the highest paid coach in the league because even on Saturday night, I was like, whoa, what are they doing? This is great.
Let's go to our pal Jay in Nashville. Jay, been a minute, dude. How are you?
Doing good. I ain't watched TV or no social media for a while. I think everybody should do that, too, because it's like all of a sudden you get to know people. And it's like I can't even walk around while somebody like, hey, what's up, bro? I'm like, who the hell is that? Who are you?
Old
and
school.
I've actually spent time with this person. It's wintertime, so everybody got a lot of clothes on. You can't recognize people. But
Jay, what are you, Aaron Rodgers going in the darkness retreat? Come back to the light.
Nah, though. Nothing like that. Nah, you can't retreat in Nashville, man. Especially if you ride the metro, you know, if you're downtown all the time. Plus, my job is closer to downtown now. And it's like, I mean, I'm like Mr. Downtown now. It's like I can't walk downtown without saying, hey, what's going on, bro? You know, it's like it comes from homeless people to rich people that live in the high rise. They know me on a first name basis now. And I'm like, how the hell did this even happen? But it's cool.
Mayor of Nashville, Jay.
Yeah, it's like it's home now. I looked around, like, you know, this is really home now. You know what I mean? I'm not going anywhere else. But it's funny to hear Perloff say the choke job, you know, say choke job. And I'm highly disappointed in the Ravens. I'm happy for our Eagles, Perloff.
Yeah.
Really happy. I'm glad they pulled that off. They did scare the hell out of me for a little bit there.
Jay, we're hitting a break real quick. You are anti-snow game in the playoffs. We have like 10 seconds.
Yes.
Okay.
I am. This 18-game schedule is not a good idea. All these games are in the snow. The ball is slick for everybody. I mean, I've never seen so many fumbles in all these playoff series ever in my life.
I know, Jay.
It's sloppy football. I don't like watching it. It's not good. It's not a good idea. You know, it's
Jay,
like,
we love you. We're so glad you're alive.
Haven't
heard from you in a while. Do you like games in the snow? Tell us.